Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Welcome back to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We're brought to you by Pelican, built tough for all situations. Go to pelican.com. Yak Gadget, for all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com. Eastport Marina, on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake, for all your lodging, kayaking, and fishing needs, go to eastport.info. Now let's get this show started.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Reel Down on Paddle and Fin. With me, Jimmy's having TVKA, can't get their power going tonight, so Jimmy's without power, so I'm lucky enough to have my guest host here, Armando Salah. Man, how you doing, bud?
Pretty good, man. Pleasure to be here. Try to fill in Jimmy's shoes as best I can, so thank you for having me, though.
Yeah, man. Pleasure. Anti, always appreciate one of you come on. But tell everybody about your show first if they don't know.
All right, so yeah, Bass Kayak and Beers, man. This show, when is this show episode?
Wednesday.
Wednesday. Yeah. So, yeah, tomorrow. So, yeah, if you don't know me, my name is Armando Solan. I'm the host of the Bass Kayak and Beers podcast. Comes out every Tuesday in the morning. I don't know what time it airs, like 5 in the morning or midnight, something like that. But something you can catch it on your work commute. Catch it this episode this week if you're interested in listening. Got a great show with Drew Gregory. I know Drew Gregory has been in every single podcast for the last month with all his wins. So we try to change up the subject. But on this one, we talk about, and honestly, shout out to Drew. He won three straight national trails. Damn. And what I thought was most impressive about the conversation, on one lake he won with largemouth bass, and another lake he won with spotted bass. And then on another lake, he won with smallmouth bass, all in a span of a month.
In different parts of the country, too.
In different parts of the country.
Yeah.
That is just, I mean, it's just mind-blowing. I mean, and if you talk to Drew, anybody that's talked, we have the pleasure because Drew is part of the Paddle and Fin team. You know, Drew is an encyclopedia of bass fishing. There's a reason why he's that successful. Crazy, but yeah, that's the episode if you all want to check it out.
There you go. And what you been up to, man? Anything new besides posting on Instagram? You are a prolific Instagram poster, I swear.
I don't even think I post as much. When I look at some of the guys and girls that, you know, do Instagram, like some of them post like 3 or 4 times a day. I don't know how they find the time. I don't catch enough fish to warrant. Yeah. Like I have to get creative. I did want to give, if you don't mind mentioning it, a plug-in, selfless plug-in. I do have a YouTube channel. It is in Spanish because, as some of you know, I'm from Puerto Rico. My first language is Spanish. So I did start a YouTube channel. It's kind of like a spinoff of Paddle and Fin. It's Remos y Aletas, which is really Paddle and Fin in Spanish. But the new episode comes out today, Wednesday. If you want to check it out, it does have English subtitles. So if you want to learn Spanish and see me, you know, do stupid things on the water, like trying to catch fish, then you can have fun and learn Spanish at the same time with the English subtitles. So you can check it out.
There we go. So, I mean, tonight we're going to have on the three first, second, and third place from West Virginia kayak anglers on the Elk River and Sutton Lake, I guess. But let's go ahead and bring them on. We've got Philip Bacchus. I'm from, I used to live in New Orleans. I'm thinking Bacchus, like the parade. Yeah. Storm Carver, and also Mark Edwards supposed to be on here. His goat, he was having problems with it. He had to go discipline his goat. So hopefully he'll be with us here in a minute. But thank y'all for being on. Man, he's got a one horn goat. I mean, I'm not making this up.
How we have privileged that information.
Yeah, I've had him on a few times. He loves talking about that goat.
He's a hammer, definitely. Yeah. With all those checks, you think he would, you know, first place check, you think he have enough money for wireless, what, router or internet router or whatever.
Get that goat another horn or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like a, you know, prosthetic horn. I don't know. But yeah, thank y'all for being on the show. First, go ahead and tell everybody who you are. Philip, we'll start with you, man.
My name is Philip Bacchus. I'm from Central West Virginia. I've been in the kayak fishing scene for 3 years nationally. I've mainly fished the KBF national trails the past 2 years, and fished the local West Virginia kayak angler trail for the last 3 years.
All right. And you're a lock operator. I thought that was
cool. I'm a lock operator for the Army Corps of Engineers, so I work on the water, basically, at a dam and a lock. So I'm around the water all the time.
Do you fish a lot of dams because of that?
No. I fish a lot of rivers.
Okay.
I like chasing those smallmouth.
Gotcha.
We have some real good smallmouth fishing around my house.
Okay. And that this is not like, you know, a West Virginia joke. Y'all are related.
Yeah.
Well, I married his sister. So.
Okay. All right.
So, yes, we are brother-in-laws.
Oh, honk if you're horny. There we go. All right. Storm, how about you, man? Tell people who you are.
I'm Storm Carver. I'm also from Central West Virginia. We live like 5 minutes apart. Been doing local trails and national trails same time as Philip has. We travel a lot together, go fish all over the country, and you know, that's been most of what we've done for the last 3 years.
Gotcha. This is random. Y'all don't know somebody named Buzz, huh?
Buzz?
Like a bald head guy?
No.
I used to live with, we shared a house, and like whenever we were stationed in Washington State, he was from West Virginia, and I can't for the life of me figure out his last name to try to track him down. I just remember his name was Buzz. I don't even remember his real first name, and I lived with the dude. It's I feel really bad about it.
But. Don't know Buzz.
Yeah, no, he was a good guy.
Got the random questions covered now.
Yeah, random questions. Yeah. The night. There we go. So yeah, well, go ahead and let one of y'all tell us about about Elk River. Tell us all about it, because I've definitely never been there.
Go ahead. You go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay. It's a river in central West Virginia. It starts up in the town of Burgoo, I believe it is. It's quite the name, Burgoo. But there is one dam on the river, and it forms Sutton Lake in Braxton County. And then below the dam, it goes all the way down to the Kanawha River in Charleston, which is the capital of the state. I'm not sure how long it is, but the main species in it is smallmouth. Unless you're in the lake, then you can catch largemouth and spotted bass. The only place you can catch largemouth or spots in the river is either like right below the dam or down near the mouth, near the Kanawha River. But it's a really good smallmouth fishery. It is our home river. We both live probably only, I mean, less than 20 minutes from it, so we know it pretty well and fish it a lot.
And since y'all fish a lot, I'm guessing a lot of rivers like that. Do y'all have more like paddle kayaks with motors? Kind of what's the standard around there?
My primary kayak has been a Hobie Pro Angler 14 for the last 3 years, and I finally put so much stuff on it that I really couldn't fish it in the river anymore. A lot of our accesses are just like carry down rocky trails, not boat ramps by any means. So I actually just bought a Drew Gregory designed Crescent Sholey.
Sholey, all right.
Yeah, and that's what I fished this last term out of. It was the first time I was even out on it with a motor. I put a torpedo on it, power pole, but it did well until I flipped it. But we'll get into that later.
All right.
Well, there goes the Sholey being undefeated now.
Well,
it was undefeated with Drew Gregory until now, Philip. But hey, second place is not bad at all.
Yeah,
I was close. I thought I had it, but I knew there was one or two guys that could beat me, and one of them did.
Well, I'll go ahead and go over the numbers here. Mark, he had, and it's five fish limit. Mark had a 90 and 3/4 with a 20 and a quarter big fish. Philip, you had 84 and 3/4 with a, it looks like your big was 18.
Yeah.
And Storm, you had 75 and a half with your biggest being 16. But it, I mean, a lot of people, I'm getting texts here. Sorry about that. But you had 47 people, 196 fish were caught.
Right.
I mean, it looks like it was fairly tough. I mean, a lot of people, you know, after the top five, it was below 70. Number six, it went down to 68. So, a lot of small limits out there.
But most of our local tournaments, if you get in the mid upper 70s, you got a legit shot at winning. We don't have the greatest fisheries in the state. You can catch a lot of numbers, but we just don't have a lot of big fish. But I mean, if you get above 80 and especially 90, it's almost unheard of for a local tournament.
So do you pretty much think 84 and 3/4 are like, I'm coming in a winner, boys?
I thought I had it. I was strutting pretty high. I thought I had it, but Mark did really well. He did really well.
Yeah, he's not here. We're messing with him, but But I mean, he's had a heck of a year. He's
a great angler. 90 inches on that lake is a crazy limit. It's a really, really, really good limit.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so y'all live there. So did you get to pre-fish any, or is this somewhere you just know so good that you kind of got your spots?
Yeah, I didn't pre-fish. This is only the second time all year that I've even fished in West Virginia. I fished national tournaments and then work and my kids and stuff. I haven't got to fish locally hardly any. So I didn't pre-fish, but I mean, I know the area that I fish, and I didn't really need to.
I've been out, I believe, Friday morning. I went to just go look at the river and made a couple casts from the bank just to see how they were set. But other than that, didn't really have to fish. Already know my float pretty well. It was just what the water was going to be Saturday.
And you caught a 21 incher the day before the tournament.
Oh,
the prior week. Yeah.
Was it the prior week?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was pretty similar water conditions. I took my bank fishing. They'd been wanting to go. And our second stop of the evening, I crushed a 21 incher. On a grass line, and that's probably my second biggest smallmouth I've caught now.
Wow, smallmouth! I'm over. Adding in Mark here. You didn't want to go audio only. You still want to risk it,
dude? No, I live right beside a cell phone tower. I don't know why my phone just all of a sudden when it gets service.
Is that what happened at Goat? The radio waves or whatever?
No, dude. I don't know what. I just have bad luck trying to get on a podcast. I don't know. Oh. It was working all day, dude.
As long as you're not having bad luck on the water, right? Nice trade-off.
Well, the last 2 weeks I've had bad luck. I mean, this weekend I changed it around, but the two previous weeks I sucked.
All right. I know we've had you on before. Oh, what was that, Storm?
I said, you know how these old people are with their technology.
Oh. We've had you on show before, but tell everybody who you are, Mark.
I'm never good at this stuff. But anyway, I'm Mark Edwards from Pipestone, West Virginia, and I have catfish.
There you go. What do you do for a living?
Fish.
Okay. Well, hashtag PK.
Hey, with all the first place you're getting, what is it, 4 first place this year already? That's enough to make a living, at least for the first few months, right?
No, not with these gas prices. No.
That's true.
Did you get to pre-fish any, Mark?
I don't pre-fish anymore. I personally don't like it.
Oh, okay.
No, I mean, you got to fish for the conditions, man, up here change so much. I mean, like the rain and me and we've actually got team deals too. You know what I'm saying? Like, so me and my team partner, he loves to float and he does really good on rivers. I mean, he's one of the best in the state as far as river fishermen go. And, I kind of wanted to float too, but I like it under normal conditions or something. You know what I'm saying? But it rained and the Elk River's so odd that it will take so much water and raise so fast and then just drop right back off. It's a high mountain river or whatever. So it drops really, really fast. And then where it has the dam on it and the lake, you never know what you're going to get below the dam. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of crazy. Because go ahead.
Whenever Phillip's having a bad day, he just says, "Hey guys, turn on them turbines. I need some help down here."
Well, see, we looked that morning. Blaine called me. He didn't come up and I sleep my truck a lot. And, he called and woke me up and he was driving up and I was going to take him up above the lake and do a float. And usually that float wins every tournament, but it has a really, really bad rapid. And at a certain flow, he didn't want to do it. So he told me he didn't want to do it with that much water. And we were looking and like, it's about 20, 30 miles below the dam. The water was actually good, you know, far as flow charts. You know, you just look at flow charts in different areas and the water level there was great, but you had so much water just coming out of the dam that hadn't got there yet, and you never know when it's going to get there, you know, unless you drove beside the river and looked at it or something.
Let me ask you this, Mark, that you don't pre-fish, since when did you stop pre-fishing, and how has it either, I'm assuming, improved, judging by the results you got this year, improve your game on the water?
Well, actually, we got another club. There's three clubs in West Virginia, and one club doesn't allow pre-fishing. It's like a week off limits.
All right.
And I actually do really, really good in that club ever since I fished them. I really do really good in that club, but it's because you just show up and fish. You know what I'm saying? You fish condition. And two, the fishing is so much better. Like, most of the waters in West Virginia is small anyway. And I've been fishing, you know, it's kayak fishing for 5 years. But really what got me into it is I started fishing a bunch of water that I never fished before. And, you know, that's why I like to travel. I like fishing water that I've never fished. And so, but now we've all fished it. You know, some of these places, you know, a handful of times. I just tournament fished it. I've just never fun fished it or anything.
So on a lake that you've never been before, would you don't pre-fish it for the tournament, or would you make an exception on a lake?
We have one lake. It's called Mud River Lake, and I fished it 3 times. And we're west. You know, we had a river tournament about 5 years ago get canceled. And for some reason, that was the only lake in the state that didn't get blowed out. So we moved it there. And I finished like 12th, and I never even seen the water before. And that was out of 100 and some people. And then we fished it twice last year with 2 different clubs, and I won both tournaments. And I never been there except that one other time. And I mean, a lot of it's luck. I mean, you just got to fish, you know, for that day. You just got to figure it out. So you're not worried. You're not fishing any past or any history, or So I carry a lot of rods and I change up a lot. And if I don't get bit with something pretty fast, I switch up.
Do you pre-fish in national tournaments?
Yeah. National tournaments, okay. I pre-fish as much as I can, yeah.
Gotcha. All right, so.
It's totally different, I think, in a national tournament where the lakes are so much bigger.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems like if I get, like, the last one I fished, I really got on something good on Wednesday, and then the water dropped so much that I was still I was looking all over the lake, but I kind of depended on that on Wednesday, even though I knew the water, I didn't really find much else. So I was kind of stuck with that anyways, but I don't know. Like, it seems like 2 days is probably right for me now, not that I have the most nationals. I mean, I do really well at home, but whenever I go on a road, I don't do that well. So I don't know, you know, what the right number, I think maybe it's 2 days for me now. That's what I'm gonna go for next year.
Well, I mean, Florida this year, I've never been to Harris Chain, but I watch every live I can. Yeah. I mean, I'm a fishing nut fan, you know. So I watched a lot of videos up prior to it. And there's an old FLW tour, the Big Five or whatever they call themselves now, Major League Fishing.
Yeah.
They were still – our first day of practice, because Bass actually has a three-day practice. You know, it's off limits before then. And I really like that. I wish everyone would go to that.
I agree.
Because everybody's equal. And anyhow, I get down there and it's third, you know, I'm watching live as I'm on my tablet as I'm driving down or listening to it. And then I get down there and I'm at the most accessible ramp. I mean, we're right beside the main road, right in the town of, what is that town? It was almost the Venetia Gardens at the weigh-in. Actually, Tavares? I went drove by there.
Tavares or Leesburg?
Leesburg. Yeah. And I went to Venetia Gardens, and there was like only two pros there that put in there, and I thought it was kind of weird. You know, you'd think the top 10 guys would take off there. But anyway, there's another ramp right beside the main road that wasn't 2 miles away. So I drove there, and I put in, and I found the winning fish in that tournament 200 yards from the boat ramp. But I had motor, you know, I had a fish with a torpedo, and it was 5 years old. Not really had no problems out of it. But that tournament, I started having issues. And anyway, I had a heck of a half a day of practice. I only had a half a day of practice. And, man, I found a winning fish. Like, I didn't cast maybe 10 times and caught a 16. And then right after that, I caught a 21. And so I left that alone, and I went and found some – I tried to find bedded fish because I thought maybe they were bedded and stuff, but I started catching some on a frog. And anyway, I had a great practice. You know, like, I was thinking it's going to take 100 inches of wind, and there was fish all over my graph where I caught the 21-incher. So the next 2 days of practice, I just expanded on that ramp because I'm like, I'm fishing that spot. You know, you got a chance of catching some big ones. And I found another school of fish. It was about a mile away, but I couldn't go full throttle. So I was only going about 3 mile an hour, which took me longer to move around and stuff like that. But, you know, it kind of hurt me in the tournament. Tournament day, it just kept cutting off and I had to turn it on. But I mean, I finished eighth and I was only 2 inches out of second. You know what I'm saying? And I had a 13 and a half. And that was super frustrating because every day I caught a lot of fish over 15 inches or something, you know. I had a 14 and a 13 and a half, but I had three big fish.
Okay.
But I didn't just, you know, I had a great practice there and thought I could maybe win it or, you know. And then the next two national tournaments I've had really bad practices. I mean, at Grand, it was weather issue, you know, the wind. Yeah. It's a big old lake, and the wind was 20 mile an hour, 30 one day. Muddy. The fish should have been spawning, but they kind of wasn't yet. I mean, it was just a funk. And first day of practice was at a place that I hadn't really even thought about fishing. What I was doing, I was trying to run away from the dirty water. I was trying to find clear water. So I drove around half a morning and found decent water, and I put in there, and I was getting tons of bites, just no big fish, you know, 15 inches, a couple 16s. And the next 2 days of practice, I fished at other ramps and just couldn't catch fish. And then tournament day, I go back to where I caught fish in practice. They wasn't big, but, you know, it's all I got. And I happened to catch two big fish. I mean, I caught fish on them two docks in practice, and they were probably the males. And then tournament day, I went back, and, I mean, it was crazy. I caught like a 16 on the one dock. I was catching my off a brush hog, and I caught that one on a brush hog in practice. And I got to that dock, and I said, I'm not going to throw a brush hog in there. It's been 3 days since I've been there, so maybe that fish will bite again. You never know. So I threw a shaky head over there and got a bite, and it happened to be a female. So I threw around, you know, I cast a few more times around the dock, didn't get any more bites, but it was right at 18 inch or something. And then I go to the next dock and cast on the same place on the next dock and catch a 19 inch. And everybody struggled at that tournament except Drew Gregory, which he, you know, he's been on another level.
He's true.
Yeah. Cause I, right. But I had bad practices, but then tournament days I've been able to catch them. You know, and just the size has been really good.
Yeah. So
kind of out of your control.
Storm, let's talk about your tournament, man.
Yeah, like Mark said, our waterways are small, especially with a lot of rain, because like the weekend prior, I fished the Bass National West Virginia tournament on the elk as well. And water levels were kind of similar, but the water had fluctuated from storms like so much in that week and a half time period. Like it'd be up for 2 or 3 days, about 3 or 4 feet, come back down and start clearing. Storms would hit again and flux again. So like Friday, river was actually looking pretty decent. Just a little bit of stain, nothing too bad. And up probably about a foot, it was perfect. Just about the same exact as I fished the weekend before, and I won the Bass Nation event on the elk with 77 and a quarter, I think, the week prior. So I figured I could at least replicate that and maybe pick up another big bite or two. And I tried to time up the flows for where they let out the dam. They were letting out 1,000 on Friday, and we had a massive thundershower come through, and they ended up cranking up outflow like 2 or 3 hours later, like 2,000. So they doubled their outflow 2 hours. So where I was fishing is far enough downriver that normally you can beat it. And normally with rising water, it's really good. But where that water's been up and down so much on the elk, they don't respond to it as quick sometimes. So we were driving up that morning, and I decided to launch probably about 6 miles below where I was originally going to put in, because I was like, yeah, I was looking at the gauges, and that water would be getting there about the time the tournament would start. And I was like, you know what, I'd rather just fish what they've been accustomed to for, you know, about a day and a half now and run with it instead of fishing them while they're rising. So put in, I catch, you know, a couple 12s right off the bat. Most of our fish, like Phil said, they're smaller. You catch plenty of numbers, but they're going to be cookie cutters. So like 12 to 14 inch tournaments here, actually pretty decent for us. But about 30 minutes in, I catch at 16. And I was like, okay.
All right. It's going to be a good day.
It's going to be a good day. And, you know, start into the next stretch, that's normally good. I had to be really accurate, because where the water was up, I was fishing like cuts in the bank, like ambush spots, and you had to put it in there perfect with the flows and everything, because you only had one cast at it and have a lot of it can be real difficult sometimes. But I went to cast into one cut, and I clipped the tree limb, and the plopper deflected. I hit a 19 or 20 in the head, and she swirled on it and then ran straight out, just spooked her. Next cast, I think I caught like a 15 and a quarter, 15 and a half. And then the next cast, I lose a 17 or 18. So in about a 45-minute span, I'm already up and down. I'm like, man, Is this going to be a really good day, or is this going to be really?
Yeah. So yeah, you were in the right area to win then, huh?
Yeah. Well, probably not win. I total throughout the day, I could have probably got up around Phillip, probably 84, 85. There's normally a lot more big fish on that float that I can get to play, but they didn't come up that day. I guess with where the water had fluxed so much, they didn't come up. I caught a bunch of fish that were, you know, 13, 15 inches, but I just couldn't get any real big bites other than that one stretch in the first hour of the day. That was where my biggest bites come from. So actually, with about 2 hours left in the tournament, that outflow, the water that had been released from the dam, finally caught up with me. Probably about 2 or 3 miles left in my float, and it just wasn't the same, because it pushed a lot of the stained water in these big eddies above me. They stained the dirty water. It pushed it down on me, and they just kind of like shut off. But you know, it was a good day fish wise, like numbers wise, like quality for here, but I just couldn't get any big bites going.
At least at the end, it was an easy paddle or a pedal back, huh?
Yeah, it wasn't bad at all. I got down to our takeout, and I was like, you know, I'll go ahead and fish one down for about half a mile, and I can pedal back up. I've got a big eddy. I probably shouldn't have did that. I took about a 12-mile float, and I didn't realize how gassed my knees were at that point. And I was pedaling against it, and I was like, holy crap, I'm done. I was like, I'm getting out.
Yeah, and what kind of kayak are you in?
I'm in a Hobie PA 14.
Okay, 14.
I'm all going right. to eventually be joining the Sholey squad.
The what?
The Sholey squad, he said.
Oh, okay. Is there a whole bunch of y'all that have – a bunch of people that have the Sholey now?
No, I'd been waiting for them to release it, because I had talked to Drew, and I was really anxiously awaiting it to come out. Well, Phillip got one of the first batches that come out to Raccoon Creek. He went and got one up there, and his time out on the water with it, we took a float on the river, and I got in it and messed around for a little bit, and it's absolutely everything I was wanting, so...
He's your brother-in-law. You can borrow it anytime.
Not for tournament day, though.
All right, Phillip, tell us about your day, man.
Yeah.
Mark's already laughing.
Yeah, I can't wait to he tells the first 5 minutes of his float.
It wasn't 5 minutes. It was about 45 minutes. But anyways, I floated with my wife. She started the tournament fishing with us this year, so okay. she was with me. We were doing 8.5 mile float. We were the next float down from where Storm was fishing. We were probably like, I don't know, like 10 miles below him or something. But it started out really slow. The spot we put in, you can normally pick up a big fish or two, but we didn't. I don't think I'd even caught a fish in like 30 minutes. I was getting pretty nervous, but the flows were the highest I'd ever been on the river. And I was in a brand new kayak. It was literally the first time I was even out in it with a torpedo. I got an 1103 on the back of that thing and a power pole. And it's a little kayak. It's only like, I don't know, 11 and a half feet, weighs 70 pounds. And it's designed to be a paddling kayak. So it sits real high in the front. And I had all that weight in the back. But anyways, about 45 minutes in, I caught a fish right above a set of shoals. So the current was moving pretty good. So I put that power pole down. And if you know how the back of that shoal he's made, he designed a like a drag chain chute back there. So it sits kind of low. So when I power pulled down, and as much flow as there was in current, that water started coming up in that chute. So the back of my kayak started squatting, sinking down. So I was like, oh no, I'm in trouble. So I put the power pole up. And when I did that, where it's kind of offset on the back of that kayak, it rocked it. And it rocked the back even further under the water. And then all that water started coming up over, and then it was just over. I completely flipped that kayak in about 4 feet of water. And it was pretty good current too. My wife was totally freaking out. She thought I was about to drown, but But it wasn't as bad as it seemed. I didn't lose anything except for my power pole spike, believe it or not. I don't know how you lose that, but it came out somehow, and I lost a set of sunglasses. I had all my rods in a black pack, but none of them were tethered, and I was completely upside down, and not a one of them came out. I have no idea how.
Wow, and none of them broke either.
Of them broke. I did not break a tip. I did one of them. I bent about half the eyes flat on it, but that was about the extent of the damage. But I had to walk it over probably 30 yards across the current to get back in it. And then I was a bit nervous after that because I just flipped it and it was new. I was a little worried, but I think 3 hours into the tournament, I hadn't even caught a fish over 11 and a half inches. So I was pretty worried. But then, I mean, when the flows are that high and the river's kind of stained, the fish are really predictable. They just get in little tiny pockets right on the edge of the river. But you got to be able to cast in probably like a, you know, 2-3 foot circle to be able to catch them. You got to throw it right on their head. But the first decent fish I had was a 16. Then it was just about for about 3 hours, it was every 20, 30 minutes I would catch a pretty good fish. And I just kept slowly upgrading throughout the day. There was one time I caught I think it was a 16 and a quarter I caught. There was a lay down, and it was on a steep bank, and you could cast under, and I was upstream, and I casted probably 10 feet underneath it and was reeling it in, and that 16 and a quarter hit it, and it went straight to the back of that tree on the other side of it and got hung in the tree. So it was hung up in the tree. The treble hooks of the plopper were hung up in the tree, and then I got pinned up against the tree, and I couldn't even hardly get to the fish on the other side because there was so much current pushing up. I was just trying not to flip the kayak. But, I mean, the fish came unhooked from the mouth, and it ended up getting hooked in the back with one of the trebles. But I did manage to get that fish in miraculously. I got the net under it and got it in. But, I mean, I just kept upgrading throughout the day. I had every fish was over 16 inches on my stringer. I had a 16, 16 and a quarter, 2 17 and a quarters, and then with about 15 minutes in the tournament left, I caught that 18 that put me at 84.75. I was feeling pretty good. I really thought I had it, but I mean, I knew I had a shot, but I had a really good day nonetheless. That was one of the better days I've had on Dale.
So you probably like broke even with the having to buy new sunglasses and pole and
yeah. I mean, it was a $200 pair of glasses, but yeah. I mean, it is what it is. I'm going to go back this weekend, actually, and try to find my spike. I'm pretty sure I can get my spike back if the water clears up.
Yeah, your wife did pretty good, too. She got 16th, huh?
She had a really bad day. She's not used to that kind of flows and that water condition. She's the Ned Rig specialist. Oh, and okay. And it's hard to fish a Ned Rig in that stained of water. She did lose one really big fish, like probably a 19 or 20 inch that would have put her, I think, maybe 6-7 or something like that. But yeah, she had an off day. She was struggling.
Y'all have a few women. You got Bunny and Christy and
yeah.
Okay.
But Bunny's actually my wife and his Storm's aunt.
Okay, Melissa. Yeah, y'all got a bunch of Sarah Brown.
How about that?
Y'all might have the most women in your club than any other club in the country.
There's several of them that fish. My wife's doing pretty decent in Angler of the Year too. She's in the top five, I think.
Wow.
She's got 6 points on me.
She's beating her brother, so there's that.
For now.
Sorry.
So let me ask you this. How's the trash talking in the family? Because now it's not just brother-in-law against brother-in-law. You have your sister, your wife.
There's not too much, really. We are competitive. Like, you get aggravated when he beats me or I beat him or something. But we don't really trash talk much.
No, but there's bragging rights, right?
Yeah, just bragging rights mainly.
What was that, Storm?
I had a really bad event at our Summersville event, prior event, and I struggled big. She ended up, I think, finishing fifth in it, I didn't hear about, or I didn't live it down for like 2 weeks.
Go ahead. Whoever finishes first and whoever finishes last, is that coming up on Thanksgiving dinner? Is that is that coming up? That conversation's coming up or no?
Probably. It gets brought up more than once throughout the year, especially by our buddies.
Yeah. I was getting ready to say, I'll probably rub it in. I was like, the girls beat y'all.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
All right, Mark. How about you, man?
Well, I chose to fish a lake because that river was bouncing up and down so much. And I just made up my mind Friday that I was going to – I just put my lake boat on the truck, and I told my partner that I was just going to fish a lake. And it was a spot that – we previously fished a couple of times, and then that morning he actually talked himself out of floating, so we both went to the same ramp. And I just, with all that mud coming into the river, and I've never fished up that way before, I thought, why not? You know what I'm saying? Because the lake's not very good normally. I mean, it's got like a lot of spotted bass in it, and the times I fished before, is a club that had a 3-fish limit, and I caught like several 14s and 15-inch fish, but I've only seen a few that was over that. You know what I'm saying? I never seen no big fish in there.
But it was probably more like the secure choice, I guess.
You know? Yeah. Because I was just wanting a top 10. I was just wanting to survive. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's what I went survival mode, and I don't like the idea of flipping. I flipped on the river one time and lost a bunch of tackle. And now when the river gets blowed out, I just don't like that. So I decided to go up with that mud coming in because it's a clear lake. I mean, at the dam end, you can see 20 foot, no joke. It's like super, super clear because the Elk River is actually like it's a world class trout stream, man. We got some really good trout fishing and super clean water coming out of the mountains. Like actually almost every river that starts in a state starts out of one county. Yeah. Like the eastern side of the state is all the Appalachian Mountains, and the Pocahontas County actually is like seven rivers come out of that county or something.
It's something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. But, so all this water is just pure clean water, but where it was muddy, I just thought I had a good chance of maybe, you know, doing better that direction. And I threw a spinner bait, and it was just, I started out with top water. I always start out with top water in the morning, never got bit on a buzz bait. And I gave that like maybe 15 minutes. And then I started throwing a spinner bait and I didn't really have a bite. There was this where a little creek would come in, but the water was cleared up right there, you know, and the river was muddy, or I say river, but I was in the lake/river, you know, it had a little bit of current up there. And, where that clean water was, I caught 2 fish, like back-to-back casts. It was like a 12 3/4 and a 13 or something. So that was my first 2 fish, and I just kept going up. And it's really not like 3/4 mile from the ramp up to the far as you can go up the river, you know, without dragging and stuff. But it was like 1,800 cubic feet was flowing into the lake. That's what it said on the gauges. So that's a lot of water. And normally, during the summertime, that river's maybe 100 cubic feet.
Oh, okay.
Flow. So that's 18 times the water. Yeah. I don't know. It's a bunch. And, so when you got current, man, it just positions the fish. And they just were eating. I mean, I couldn't believe nobody. There was like 2 or 3 guys at the ramp asked me which direction I was going. And I told them I was going that way. And there was only one other guy went a little ways up there, and it was right before first cast. And he said, I've caught some fish here before. I'm going to stay here. And I said, I'm going to go all the way up to where the river runs in. And nobody else followed me up there until I already had 80 inches before I seen anybody.
You just scare people off?
No, I don't. I think some.
They, I mean, what, probably, was it really like, I'm the one going up there and y'all are staying down there?
No. I think it's a little bit of respect. And then I know Jerry wanted to go up that way because he told me, he said his buddy told him that's where, you know, he fishes out of a bass boat a lot. And he said, it's good fishing up there. And I said, I've never went up there, but I'm going to try it. And when I got all the way up there into where the main river was coming in, I caught a 19. And, I'm at 80 inches. And normally the last time we done that river, 75 on it, I think. Usually that's around what wins it. And, 80 inches, you feel pretty good. I know I'm going to be in the top couple anyway,
Yeah.
Or you think that. But with the river high and stuff, you just never know. I mean, nothing – you can't take nothing for granted in fishing, And I was coming back down, and I actually caught my limit on a spinnerbait that I found at Grand Lake. It was a brand-new spinnerbait on a dock, and I went over and got it. It was hooked on the cable wires. I didn't steal nobody's spinnerbait.
What kind is it?
I don't know. It was kind of a cheap one, but it looked like to be a half ounce, and it already had like a Kitek 3.8 on it, And that's perfect for me. And anyway,
what was it? Willow blade or color?
Yeah, willow blade, gold, and it was chartreuse and white. It was about a half ounce. So that broke. I went to flip my fifth fish in the boat, and it broke because it had a light wire on it. But I don't know what brand it was. I mean, it was probably somebody's $2.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Bass Pro, like Ben special kind of deal.
Yeah, but I've had some good luck off the ones that had the flexible blades. They give off more vibration, really.
A little bit more.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard. Yep.
Yeah.
And, is this upsetting y'all because he went off a used bait he found out on the lake?
Well, this is crazy. I'm a tackle junkie, right? So that's why I like the big Titan boat I got, because I carry so much crap. And I had found a jig where the MLF tour dudes were down there. I found a brand new Strike King jig. I was cranking offshore in practice and hooked this line, and then I reeled in the line. I had a brand new jig with a Rage Trail. It's a swim jig, looked like a 3/8 ounce. But I put it in my tackle, and I carried it around. Well, I had that tied on. And when I come back down the river
with the same trailer on it?
Yeah, it was the same, yeah. And anyway, I was coming back down the river, and I had I changed to a bigger spinnerbait, actually, a heavier one. The one was a half ounce, and this next one was 3/4. And I swam it across the log, and it was a big fish, like 18 plus, come across the log and just eat it. And I had just tied that thing on not too long ago. And I guess, I just didn't get the knot tight. It was just totally bad execution of tying a knot, man. And like when I set the hook, it didn't even feel like my line got tight. And it just was like limp. And I'm like, that's just crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that was a 3 or 4 inch upgrade,
What thing kind of knot are you tying?
I'm a nut. I tie tons of different knots.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a trilene knot. I just didn't get it tight.
I can't do a trilene knot. I don't know why. Could never get it right.
It's actually one of the strongest knots.
That's what I understood, but I don't.
Yeah, but you got to pull it tight, man. You got to cinch it down, and it was almost all the way down, and I just bit it, and it's like, eh.
And you hate fluorocarbon, don't you? You have mono?
Yeah, it's mono. Yeah, I had a 15-pound mono line.
What's up, old man? All right.
And then
some big game?
No, I used to be big game. No, Iser line. I like Iser line. Y'all probably ain't never heard of that.
No, I ain't never heard of that.
Dean Greathouse. That's some Western Dean Greathouse used to be sponsored by Iser line. It's some of the best line, actually.
Who's that? Who did?
The Dean.
Oh,
okay. Greathouse.
Yeah.
Back.
He's a frog specialist.
Yeah, I mean they make braid too. It was like when he was winning tournaments back in the day. And but anyway, so I lost that big fish, and I was coming back down, and I caught a bunch of 14s on the way back down, and I didn't realize I ran into my team partner. I was fishing behind this island. And real skinny water, and I seen this kayak coming, and I just caught one, and it was like a 14-incher, and I didn't even take a picture of it or nothing because it didn't help me, and I thought it was another competition, coming up through there, and I said, oh, they seen me catch it because they turned around and went back the other direction.
Somebody fishing that bent rod pattern, huh?
Well, no. They just left. They seen me and they left. Oh, but okay. Actually, it was my team partner. I didn't even know until at the awards and Blaine had went up that way because he wasn't catching nothing out towards the lake. But I kept going back down to there, and I've done well this year off a mag draft. So, you know, they're hitting a spinner bait. They was, and it's done like 10:30 in the morning. Now the sun's up, but I'm up in a canyon too. So the sun's just now starting to hit the water where I'm at because the mountain's so steep. You know what I'm saying? So I've been in shade most of the day too. And the wind was bad. I mean, like the high that day was 60. Water temp was 65.
Damn.
Wow. You know, wasn't it the high 67 that day or something?
You said the wind or the temperature?
Yeah, it was around 70, yeah.
The temperature is right.
The temperature.
Yeah, but the wind was maybe even 15 to 20.
Oh. Yeah, it was blowing pretty good, yeah.
It was blowing big gusts every now and then. So anyway, I took off down, you know, back towards the ramp with a mag draft. And I got back to that little creek again, and I threw a spinnerbait and caught another one. It was a 13, 14-incher. And then I just, you know, I probably went 300-400 yards throwing that mag draft around and never seen – of course, the water ain't a foot visibility. So, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's not like you'd have to hit one on the head for them to – you need to have a little bit of clarity for that thing. So I didn't get no bites or nothing, and I ran into Jerry – and he's headed up that way, and I told him I had like 80 inches, and he had mid-70s or something. And right after he left, the sun was out. So I was on the sunny side of the bank, you know, and it was actually the river channel side too. So it was like 15 foot of water. You know what I'm saying? Because it was kind of shallow up there, and this was like, 50, you know, the channel swing side. And there was a bunch of hardwood, you know, brush and stuff up on the bank. And I took that swim jig and cast it where you shouldn't cast, you know, way back in a little bit of shade back there. It was just a little bit of shade. And when it got through that junk, man, it just went thump. So I didn't want to let it swim. I mean, when it went thump, I set the hook. And it got the pulling, and I thought I was just hung, you know. And then I realized it was a big fish. It was probably close to 6 pounds. Huh. It was 20 and a quarter, but it was really fat. I mean, thick. And I just – no, that was fluorocarbon line, 16-pound fluoro FC sniper. But it was just the good Lord. I mean, because, I mean, it was up in the top of its mouth. It wasn't coming off. It was just perfect. And I just leaned back, and it just worked its way through all that brush.
On that used swim jig from Florida, huh?
Yeah.
So you won this tournament on a bunch of tackle you found.
Well, the first four fish I got in the boat was off used tackle, and then at 20 was. And then that was right around where that water started getting kind of clearish. But where that swim jig, I threw it a couple more times and got hung. You know, it ain't got a good weed guard on it or nothing because I was flipping with it, you know. So I make my own jigs. Not swim jigs, but anyway, just regular jigs. So I went with a green pumpkin because the water's starting to clear up down that way. And then I ended up catching the other 20, which there was just a few spots down on that bank that actually had shade because the sun was up, you know, high sun and just a little bit of shade. And that was only two bites I got on that bank, actually. And then right past that, the channel swing left the bank. And then it just turns out to be a big old flat, you know, it opens up to be the lake. And then, when I got down there, I could throw the jig in any shade and catch a fish. I mean, it was like crazy, but the other 20 come off a undercut bank, like it was an undercut bank where the channel swing was. And it was a big old sycamore tree there and it had a root system. And like when I flipped right again, that tree, the fish just come out and grabbed it and started swimming with it. But I didn't realize it was 20 inches because I need to start GoPro and, you know, video. And man, my net job on that thing was horrible. I mean, it was awful. I couldn't get it in the net. I mean, I had it right there at the boat and I'm fumbling around. It went all the way around my net. I couldn't get it in there and I just grab a line and flip it. And then I realized, I mean, I barely had it hooked. Barely had it hooked.
Which mag draft do you throw? The freestyle or the?
Yeah, because I like the freestyle way better.
Yeah,
the line through. I've had quite a bit of experience with them for a few years, and like me and Casey Reed fished as a big bass splash deal on Smith Mountain Lake or whatever where you win a boat.
Native deal.
No, boat, bass boat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And anyway, I used to do really good with them down there at Smith Mountain, and it was COVID year 2020. And so they had it in the fall because they canceled it in the spring. They always have it during the spawnish time, but that year they canceled it until the fall. So his buddy was leading big bass on the first day, and he fished with his buddy Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday, me and him fished together. And we were throwing the mag draft and skipping them. I mean, all day we were skipping them, and they skipped really, really good. But the line through deal's got that. It's got like a wire, because you're actually tying onto a tie place. Your line actually ain't going through it. It's actually a rig, pre-rigged deal going to the treble. But when you hit a dock post or something, like when you're trying to skip it and you get a lot of momentum going and it hits, it bends, right? So actually your mag draft won't run right after you hit it a few times. You know what I'm saying? And then the magnet falls out, which is kind of frustrating. I mean, I don't know. You pay attention to the magnet holding your hook up there and stuff.
Yeah. I've never thrown – I throw the 5-inch spark shad.
Mm-hmm.
I throw it on like a, the
understand
hammer.
Well that's all I'm doing is throwing on the one tournament this year I did really well with the mag draft. It was a trocar hook, seven-aught with a spinner on it.
Gotcha.
And I don't know, it was a pack of two, but I can't find the other one. I need to order some more. And I had a VMC and I went through that pack now. And like the one I was throwing the other day, I actually lost a spinner on it. I'm not really fond of the VMC. It's got like a longer little cable with a spinner on it. And then when you skip it all the time, your line will get tangled with it. So, seems like the ones with the shorter from the lead to the spinner, the shorter you get, less tangled.
You have to holler at Fishing Online, get them to carry some more VMC stuff. I actually looked on it because I had to order some stuff from Tackle Warehouse because it's the only place I get it. I don't like to order there from there if I don't have to, but I actually looked on Fishing Online. They didn't have what I wanted, some Nico hooks and some of those VMC.
They had the owner. The owner has a 6-aught and an 8-aught, which a lot of guys use the 6 on the 6-inch mag draft. I don't know. I like the 7. And I think the trocar was a 1/4 ounce, and the VMC was a 3/8 ounce weight.
Gotcha.
Which is, man, that 3/8 was good because it actually I like it getting down there a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Because the main deal with that thing is you're fishing cover, or structure, and it's just reaction. They just see that big and they got to come out. So if you get it down a little bit, Bill Moore, it feels like they're going to eat it better than. You know what I'm saying? They don't have to go as far.
Philip, what was your go-to lure for this tournament? And then, Storm, you can follow up on that as well. What were your go-to lures?
I was plopper style bait. That was what all my keepers came on. When it gets up like this and staying, I usually throw a plopper and a spinner bait.
Any color in particular?
Black or bone. And spinner bait is usually just like white chartreuse.
Any Colorado blade, I'm assuming, if it's muddier?
No, it wasn't muddy. It was just really stained. And it was a willow, double willow.
Oh, cool. What about you, Storm?
Yeah, I was throwing a 110 whopper plopper and either black or bone or a spinner bait. I threw out a skirt yesterday with just a minnow style trailer on the back because my float, the first 2 or 3 feet off the bank was clear water, and then the rest of it was pretty heavily stained. So I was running that stain line down the bank with that spinner bait just slow rolling, and I caught a couple fish on a crank bait and Cinco, but Most of my work was done with a plopper and a spinnerbait.
I usually don't use a skirt on my spinnerbaits. I usually cut all the skirts off mine.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know why. It's a confidence thing, I guess. I don't know. It makes it look a little more natural. I don't know. I'm probably crazy.
You leave it short, or you just straight up get rid of the skirt?
Just get rid of it.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
I fish them about 50-50. It just depends. Like the other day, I fished the Gauley River, and I was whacking them with a chartreuse and white skirt. But whenever you get on the elk and stuff, it seems like sometimes throwing one without a skirt with just a swim bait trailer on the back in that clear water, I guess something with a natural, more natural presentation, they definitely like it better.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I've heard of people not using the trailer, but
those two spinning blades, don't worry about those.
I think when you have a trailer, they do key on the – they eat the spinnerbait better when you got a trailer. There's no doubt.
Same way with a buzzbait, too, I think. It just kind of gives them something to grab onto, you know.
Well, see, with the buzzbait now, I don't never throw one with a skirt anymore. I always throw one with a frog.
If I'm around cover, like more open water, I'll throw the skirted one. And if I'm around grass or a lot of cover, I go with a buzz toad.
But I heard a guy say, when they get their mouth on it and, you know, it's the rubber, they actually hold on to it better. Because I never use a trailer hook, you know, with the toad.
Yeah, I don't know.
And the hookup's
really good. Was that Jacob Wheeler?
Nah, I don't know if it was him or
not. It was Wheeler.
That's interesting. I've gone since this year, I started just going with a trailer hook, but no trailer. I've gotten, even with the trailer hook, I've gotten a lot of short strike. Just this past 2 weeks, I've been hitting up a lake, and I've gotten so many short strike. I'm like, I have a trailer hook. Why am I getting – the whole point of a trailer hook is to get those short strike. But even with that, so it might be something to that plastic, you know, feeling.
A big plug, but that X-Zone 3.5 swammer, it works really good for that.
Yeah, and you know what I started using, and I found a lot of success, the Hordy Toad on a spinning light setup just with the 4-0 hook. And it's killing it. I mean,
on top of grass.
On top of grass, it's killing it. I think a lot of times it could be too noisy.
You
know, sometimes you throw in it. And I noticed it because I was throwing a buzzbait, and I saw just the wake of the bass just like completely in the opposite, just flying in the opposite direction when they heard the buzz bait coming in. I'm like, huh, let me just try the toad. And ever since I did that, it was like 3 or 4 casts in a row just hammering them. I'm like, oh, I'm going to check this out more often now.
Yeah, the fishing pressure has a lot to do with that too. Like if a lot of people were throwing buzz baits and then all of a sudden you throw something slightly different. And like you're saying, it's probably – it's really finesse fishing top water, you know, when you're I like the Zoom too, because there's a grass lake near me, and we used to do the night tournaments out of bass boats, you know, and the toads was real popular, and them guys got to the Stanley toad, you know, because it's really loud, and everybody got to throwing them, and I just kept throwing the Zoom, and I thought I did better than they did, you know, because it was
something different.
Yeah, and it was more finessey.
I throw that a lot. That top toad. That's probably my favorite frog now. Yeah.
That top toad sounds like it's almost like a weedless whopper plopper with how noisy it is.
Yeah. It kills on Gunnersville. Just saying.
Trust me, I know.
And when we was talking about spinner baits there earlier, and you know, the standard written in the book when it's really really dirty water, you want to throw Colorado blade and an Indiana blade or something. But I really think speed has a lot to do with it when it's summertime, even though it's dirty. But, you know, I mean, I'm throwing a four and a half size blade, you know what I'm saying? Double willows. So that's really flashy and got vibration because that's a big blade. But then the speed of it in the summer, I mean, I'm not burning it back by no means, but I'm just like a medium retrieve. But I think the speed of it, they still just react to it and eat it. Because if you're throwing a Colorado or Indiana, you know, it's so slow. You know, yeah. If it's cold water, it'd be probably better. But once it gets warm, I just throw willows.
All right. Well, we don't want to take up too much of y'all's time. But before we let you go, we want to give you a chance to shout out anybody that makes fishing easier for you. Storm, we'll start with you, man.
Yeah, I got a couple of sponsors. Shout out to Elevation Sports. Me and Phil are in there. Our supplier up here in Beckley, West Virginia. Kistler Rods, Calco's Fishing, which is now rebranding as Tackle Works. And, okay. Nichols Lures.
Ooh, that's a thing. So the Pulsator spinner baits? That would, yeah.
A Pulsator a lot on Saturday.
They have like a new trailer, looks like a Menace.
Yeah, it's called a Flapjack. It's very similar to a Menace. I don't have any yet, but I'm going to be getting some to try real soon for chatter baits and spinner baits.
Yeah, I saw that coming out. I thought it was going to look really good because I like they have good spoons and Nichols has a bunch of good baits, jigs.
They're quality. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like their buzz baits a lot too.
Yeah, I've never used one. There we go. All right. Well, Philip, how about you, man?
Just shout out to Elevation Sports. I'm on their fishing team. They help out with gear and stuff like that. That's about the only deal I have going on, really.
Cool. And Mark?
I'd like to thank Fishing Online, Dakota Lithium Batteries, and Native Watercraft.
Cool.
It's nice to have people supporting you, you know, when you're doing this. It really is.
That's right. Well, we appreciate y'all being on. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good luck the rest of the year.
Hey, thanks for having us on. Sorry appreciate I was late.
No, you're good. Later, guys.
All right, later.
Thank you for coming on, guys.
Hey.
Great group of guys.
Yeah, man. We'll go over some tournaments here. We got a whole mess of them. So if I mess up your name, I'm sorry. Blame Armando. Email him. on Sturgeon Bay up in Wisconsin, 27 anglers, 5 fish limit. Todd Martin's won that with 98.5. Dang. Second, Joseph Palmer with 95.5 and Justin Olson with 94.5. Mid-Atlantic MAKBF, stop 3, Conowingo Reservoir in Pennsylvania. Michael Chaney won with 85 inches. Sterling, Trey Leach, Innovative Sportsman, 82.75. Matt Campbell in third with 75.25. Iron City Kayak Anglers, they were on Neely Henry. I fished that one. First place, Jacob Mott had 33 anglers, 3 fish limit. He broke 60 inches on Neely, which is awesome. 60.5. Coley McGown owns that lake usually, 85.25. And Ben Gorley with 55 inches. I got 7th. Northeast.
You won a couple.
Yeah. Just one win. Well, 2 wins.
You got 2 wins, yeah.
Well, I've got 3, but 2 with Iron City.
Oh.
Well, a first and a second, and the other one was, I don't remember, another trail. TVKA and another, I don't know, man. I got first and second, but I got 7th. I did all right. Northeast Tennessee Kayak Anglers on Douglas Lake. Tennessee, 26 anglers. Dalton Hyatt with 89 inches. Josh Stewart, Mr. Senko with 80.75. And Matt Millard, because it's fun, 80 inches. Tennessee Kayak Anglers also on Douglas Lake. I guess it was a double dip, 40 anglers. Dalton won that one too with 54.75. This was 3 fish limit. Caleb Rogers with 50.75 and William Franklin with 50 inches. Tennessee Bass Nation, triple dip, also on same lake. Dalton Hyatt, you had a hell of a day. Mr. Terry Golden, part of the Golden duo, with 82.75 and Jeremy Meadows with 82 inches. We talked about this one. That was in West Virginia. And Natural State Kayak Anglers, they were on Harris Break Lake in Arkansas. 27 anglers. Garrett Morgan won that with his dog Flapjack in the back. 94.75. Corey Hopper in second with 82.5. And Larry Winsenot with 51 inches. only 47 fish caught, first and second place with only two people a limit. So that was pretty crazy. And 94 inches. That's so not only was he one of the only two people to have a limit, but he absolutely destroyed them. So congratulations, Garrett, on that one.
He seems to find like the lakes, like Lake Fork, where it was horrible. He has a knack for finding it when nobody else can find it.
Yeah, that's a really great good angle. One. Yeah. Also a KFL guy. He's on the Arkansas Hogs, who are also undefeated. So we're undefeated, and they are too. So it's, you know, might be a showdown later season. We'll see. Central States Kayak Series on Black Hawk Lake in Iowa, 39 anglers, 5 fish limit. Chung Pham with 89.5, Tyler Alexander with 86.5, and Stephen George with 85.75. And last but not least, way out on the West Coast, we got the Yakabass on New Maloney's. 95 anglers, 5 fish limit. Joseph Saugun, S-A-G-U-N, with 87.5. He caught a 25-inch bass. 85.5 inches with a 25. That's a life changer right there. That's, you just put down the rods, sell the rods, go to a pawn shop, close up shop, because you ain't never going to catch a 20, probably never going to catch a 25 again. So congratulations to him. That's awesome. Geno Mango with 87.5. That guy's always on him. Mr. John Myers, I wish I knew the name of it. He's got like a, I really like John, but he's also got like a cleaning company sponsor. I really like that. Like, how do you get a cleaning company? It's like a,
maybe a family, or
I don't know. Maybe he knows, you know, maybe he worked there, or
he knows a guy.
Yeah, maybe he definitely knows a guy for sure. But nobody else has like Scrubby Daddy or, you know, 303 Protectant. They're not sponsoring any kayak anglers or Dawn Soap. I don't know. Just saying. I think that's interesting. Like, there's not a lot of people who have a lot of non-endemic sponsorships in kayak fishing, and it's his title sponsor. And I think that's cool.
Well, that's pretty cool, man.
But he had,
good for him.
He had 85.5, 525 fish caught, only 3 were over 20 inches. So that's crazy. That's even crazier numbers for Joseph. So,
So let me shout out the Texas crew here. I don't know if you had them last week, but Northeast Texas Kayak Championship in Lake Worth, Ross Pinkerton, 85, Michael Cates, 82.75, and Casey Kemp, 82.5. I was Lake Worth for the Northeast Texas Kayak Championship. Great job with Ross Pinkerton. I would have put my money that Matt Scotch would have won that one, assuming he fished it, because he can put a beat down on that lake for sure.
Yep. All right. Well, that's it. Appreciate y'all watching, and we'll see you again next week. Armando, thanks again for being on. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, man. Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
And everybody go watch his show. And Jimmy, I'm sure he'll be back next week. So thank y'all for watching. Wear your PFDs and be safe out there, especially in the heat. If you overheat, like get in the water, get in some shade, you know, what really bring extra water this time of the year. Be safe, because we've seen it happen to other kayak anglers where it's easy to overheat out there, especially in this record breaking temps. Yeah. So
all across the South. Yeah.
Yeah. Be careful, everybody. See y'all next week.
Bye. Peace out.